time is running out. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now.
It's not about what you've done, it's about what you do. It's all about where you going, no matter where you've been. Let's go, go, go.
Okay, so if you Team A beats Team B, and then you divide the hypotenuse by the square root of 2x divided by A, then you find out who's the number one seed.
Let's go.
Is that right? Sure feels that way. Hi, everybody.
Let's go.
Come on in. Join us for another edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RBA Sportsnet. Rob Witham along with you. Late on a Wednesday night as we record this, and just home from some exciting volleyball action. Volleyball, field hockey dominating the early part of this week in terms of high school sports, and we have some congratulations and results to dole out that we want to do first of all before we get into all the playoff talk and the final week of the football regular season coming up Friday night. In fact, we won't know all of the seedings until after Armstrong and Henrico are finished on Saturday afternoon. But first, gotta congratulate two field hockey teams, the Maggie Walker Green Dragons, remaining undefeated last night, winning in their 4A South Regional semifinal. They are on their way to the 4A South Championship, and more importantly, they have clinched a ticket to the 4A State Final Four, which is going to be held at 2 p.m. a week from Friday, November the 14th at the National Training Center in Virginia Beach. Now, if you've never been to the National Training Center, it is an absolutely beautiful facility. It's got a football stadium to die for. It's got multiple field hockey fields and other facilities as well. Not hard to get to. You gotta go all the way down to the beach, unfortunately. So it's about a two-hour drive. But it's well worth it. The facilities are very, very good. Wish there were more bleachers at the field hockey fields. Might want to take a lawn chair with you if you're going to go down, if you're a Green Dragon fan or a Raider fan, and we'll talk about that in a second. But Maggie Walker will play in one of the two semifinals in 4A. That comes up at 2 p.m. next Friday, November 14th. And what they do is they have two fields side by side, and the two state semifinals play simultaneously. And so the two winners find out at about the same time who they're going to play each other the next day for the state championship. It's a pretty exciting atmosphere. We were down there last year when Lee Davis made it to the state semis. And on the 5A side, another Hanover County school is making it in their 13th year of existence, 12th season under current head coach Alyssa Farling. The At-Lee Raiders have come through the 5A South bracket. They have knocked off in consecutive nights Matoaka and Manchester from Conference 12 to earn their first ever trip to the state semifinals, as well as their first trip through the regional quarterfinals. So history made twice in 26-7 hours by At-Lee Monday and Tuesday night over at River City Sportsplex. Congratulations to the Raiders. Haley Anna, what can you say about her? 4 goals in that game in the semifinal against Manchester Tuesday night. She had them all in that 4-0 win. And now the Raiders will await the winner of tomorrow night's match down at the coast between Gloucester and Princess Anne. Whoever wins that game gets At-Lee Friday night, this Friday night, down to the National Training Center. That's for the 5A South Regional Championship. But the winner of Gloucester, Princess Anne, and At-Lee both advance to the 5A State Final Four. At-Lee plays at 10 o'clock Friday morning. It's a strange time to be playing a state semifinal, I know. But it is a 10 a.m. Friday morning, November 14th, state semifinal. They'll meet either the 5A runner-up and 5A North runner-up. If they win the South Region, they'll meet the 5A North champion. If they fall in the 5A South Regional Championship. So we'll know late Friday night who At-Lee will play. But we already know that they will play Friday, November the 14th, 10 a.m. at the National Training Center in Virginia Beach. So that's the latest on field hockey. And got to give a shout-out to the Matoakas, to the Manchesters, to Midlothian, who fell in the 4A South quarterfinals, and to the Cosby Titans, Man, what a great season. Undefeated all the way to the 6A South quarters, but then they just ran into a buzzsaw in Stafford. We were at that match last night, and Stafford just dominated the field of play. They dominated field position. If you ever watch field hockey, you realize that you've got to dominate field position if you want to impose your will and win the match. And Stafford probably spent 90% of the first half in the offensive zone. And when you're spending your entire time defending, there's no way you can get an offense going, much less think about scoring. Cosby was able to break through more in the second half. They got their lone goal, Kiki Inman, with it in the second half to, at that point, cut the lead to 3-1, but then Stafford added an insurance goal and won it by 3. But Cosby, fantastic season for them, and also a huge shout-out to the Deep Run Wildcats. They win their 5A North quarterfinal. They go all the way up to Alexandria on this Wednesday night as we record this podcast to face George Marshall in the 5A North semifinal. They play to a scoreless draw after 60 minutes. And they go into OT, which, of course, if you're not familiar with field hockey, they go down to a 7-on-7. It's a much faster-paced format, wide-open field, kind of like watching 4-on-4 in ice hockey. And Marshall tallied the overtime winner to end the Deep Run season one game short of the state tournament. They would have been there with Atlee had they been able to pull it off tonight. 1-0 the final score. Our hats off to the Wildcats, who we saw win the Conference 14 championship a week ago tonight over at Douglas Freeman High School with their win over the Rebels. Great season for Deep Run. They'll be back. Great season for Cosby. They'll be back. And great seasons continue for Maggie Walker. Could be a historic season for the Dragons as they go in not only to the state Final Four in the 4A classification, but they're still unbeaten. 22-0, I believe, at last check, and Atlee going into the 5A states for the first time ever. Volleyball, lots of semifinal action on this Wednesday night. We'll get you quickly caught up, and also championship action. Conference 11, they've crowned their champions, and we were there live with tweet coverage tonight on both Hanover Sports and Henrico Sports as the Lee Davis girls swept through the Mills Godwin girls in three sets to win the Conference 11 Girls Championship. Godwin was just out of sorts from the opening tap, unfortunately, tonight. It just was not their night. They could never get in a flow, never get in a rhythm. They looked nothing like the team that beat Deep Run in a five-set thriller Monday night to earn the right to be in the Conference 11 Championship and grab a 5A South Region berth. So that's okay. Coach Chris Wakefield and his staff, they're going to regroup. They're going to come back. They're going to be ready for when they face the Conference 12 champion next Tuesday night in the 5A South Region quarterfinals. They will take place over at Meadowbrook High School. Lee Davis will play that night, too. They'll play the Conference 12 runner-up. Conference 12 tournament is continuing. That still has to be played out, and we won't know who plays who until after tomorrow night. Now, down in Conference 12, we can say, excuse me, congratulations to the 3-seed Metoaka, the 1-seed Clover Hill, and the boys bracket. They have both met, they've both made the Conference 12 championship. They'll face each other for the title tomorrow. Whoever wins will get Atlee in the 5A South quarterfinal, and whoever loses will get Deep Run in the 5A South Region quarterfinal. And those matches, boys, will be Tuesday night at Mills Godwin High School. The reason? Deep Run knocks off Atlee, the number 1 seed, to win the Conference 11 championship tonight. 3-1. Atlee with a lead most of set 4, but the Wildcats staged a late rally to take the lead around 21-20 and then held on for the victory. Craig Nelms and Christian Taylor and Sam Jesse and Griffin Bailey, the latter two that we talked to with an instant interview you can see right now on our YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com and search RVA Sports Network, and you can see all the interviews that we do with all the student athletes after live coverage, etc., etc. Had a chance to talk to them after they won the Conference 11 crown. Back-to-back conference titles for Deep Run. They got out in the back. You remember last year, boys volleyball, there was only one state champion, and so they faced Cosby early on in the regionals, and they lost. And it ended their season with a complete thud after they had had just a phenomenal campaign. And so I think the Wildcats, talking to Craig Nelms a couple of weeks ago after a regular season win over Patrick Henry, he pretty much said, you know, we remember last year, we remember the sting of losing to Cosby, we know how much it hurts, and we want more than we got last year. And they certainly played that way tonight. Deep Run will be a tough out for Atlee. It broke their 12-match winning streak. They hadn't lost since September 29th when they lost in 5 at home to Cosby in a game that we had here live on the RVA Sports Network, 15-10 in the fifth set tiebreaker. And so a tough loss tonight for the Raiders, but they can come back, get ready for Tuesday night for whoever they may meet, either Clover Hill or Matoaka in round one of the 5A South Regional. And they're still, they got to, you know, just put your mindset in like the Mills Godwin girls do. You're still just two wins away from a trip to the Siegel Center in the Final Four, November 21st and 22nd. And again, three boys volleyball state champions this year. It's expanded. We'll have a 4A, 5A, and a 6A champion. So 6A will get kind of sorted out tomorrow night when the Conference 3 tournament finals take place. It's going to be a Cosby-James River doubleheader, both the girls and the boys. Girls will play first, then the boys, both at Cosby tomorrow night. Both teams will advance into the 6A South Regional. For Conference 3 boys, it's a little different. They finish up tomorrow, but essentially, ostensibly, what Steve Davies, the athletic director at Thomas Dale, was explaining to us by email last week was essentially the Conference 3 tournament winner is going to get a ticket into the state semifinals at the 6A level. So, huge match tomorrow night for Cosby and James River on the boys' side. On the girls' side, certainly they want to win the conference title, but they both know that they're going to hit the 6A quarters early. Next week. Conference 20, big matches tonight in girls. Hanover sweeps J.R. Tucker, the number one seed, advances to the championship, where they will face the survivor of a five-set marathon tonight between the Glen Allen Jaguars and the Midlothian Trojans. And Glen Allen comes back in set number five. They were down big. They poised a big comeback, and they win the tiebreaker, 15-12, I believe it was, and Glen Allen will move on. It'll be a 1-2 matchup in the girls' final tomorrow night. That's Thursday night, 6 p.m. And in the boys' final, the two semifinal winners from Monday night, Hanover the 3 seed, Midlothian the 1 seed. They'll play at about 8 o'clock. Conference 20 championships are at Monacan High School, and we will be live tweeting those matches tomorrow night across our Twitter platforms, at Chesterfield Sports, at Henrico Sports, and at Hanover Sports. So if you're not following us already, make sure you do tomorrow night. We will have live, real-time update coverage of both the boys and the girls Conference 20 Volleyball Championships. Girls at 6 p.m., Hanover, Glen Allen. Boys about 8 o'clock, Hanover and Midlothian. And, of course, all four of those teams already punching their ticket to the 4A South Region, boys and girls, respectively. Okay, let's talk football. Holy cow. I was over this afternoon, Wednesday, being the day that we are recording this podcast at NBC 12, had our usual recording session with Mark Davis, sports director over there. And of course, Mark joins us for an exclusive look at all the Central Region games every week on our Game of the Week pregame show on WHAN 102.9 FM on the radio and live here on the RVA Sports Network, all across our three web platforms, HanoverCountySports.net, HenricoCountySports.net, and ChesterfieldCountySports.net. You can listen live each and every Friday night at 6:30. And in our half-hour pregame, we take a good chunk of time, a good half of that or more, to sit down and talk to Mark commercial-free through the entire segment about all the matchups in the Central Region, where NBC 12's cameras are going to be, where's Matt Estridge going to be, and there's no doubt where they're going to be on Friday night. They will be, of course, at the Game of the Week, and that is the big top 10 matchup between 9-0 number 3 Manchester and 8-1 number 4 LC Byrd. People have waited, kind of. There have been some who've been talking about they've been waiting for Manchester to stub their toe and not have that 9-0 record coming into this game. Well, it never happened. They handled James River pretty impressively last week. They've gone now two games without Justin Pendergrass. They've kind of figured out a way to continue the running game, even though that's still huge loss with the loss of Justin, unfortunately. But Coach Tom Hall and company have it all in front of them right now. It's very simple. They get the Skyhawks on their field in week number 11. You can't ask for a better scenario. If Manchester gets the win, they certainly are guaranteed a home game in round one, and there is a possibility, and a good possibility at that, that because of the bonus points that they will get for beating an 8-win LC Byrd team, they'll get 24 points for winning the game. And then they'll get 16 additional VHSL points for beating an 8-win team in LC Byrd. Okay, now they're both in 5A, so there's no extra points for beating a team from a lesser classification. But then Manchester's going to get some bonus points for some other games that are going on as well. For example, whoever wins Monick and Cosby, they'll get 2 points for that because they beat both of them. Whoever wins Huguenot-Clover Hill, they'll get 2 points for that. They beat both of them, that sort of thing. The point being is that Manchester with a win would likely overtake Hermitage for the number 2 seed in 5A South Central. Coming into week 11, this this is how it is in 5A. We might as well just break this down and start talking about all the what-ifs right now in 5A South Central. Here we go. Coming into the week, Highland Springs, number one, 33.778 points. Hermitage, number two, at 32.22 points. Manchester, number three, at 31.556 points, so about three-quarters of a point behind Hermitage. Now, Hermitage plays J.R. Tucker in the Cat Bowl on Friday night. Hermitage wins, they'll get 24 points. They'll get two bonus points for beating a team in a lesser classification within their district, so that's 26 points. And then they would get an additional six for J.R. Tucker's three wins. So that's 32 points minimum for the victory for Hermitage. But for Manchester, they win with 24, and then they get 16 points for having beaten a team that has eight wins. Right there already, Manchester is at 40 points with the win over Bird. Hermitage, on the other hand, is only at 32, so that is an eight-point upgrade for Manchester. And you're saying, well, Rob, what does that exactly mean? And I'll tell you why. It means a lot, because Hermitage comes into the week with 290 VHSL rider points. Manchester comes into the week at 284, so they're six behind Hermitage going in to week 11. Manchester wins, then they're going to have a minimum of 40 points. If Hermitage wins, they get a minimum of 32 points. Well, that means Manchester has eight additional points. Manchester leaps over Hermitage temporarily into the number two seed. The question at that point being, other games going on. Hermitage will definitely get 2 points for Patrick Henry Freeman, because whoever wins, they beat. Same thing for TJ and Godwin. Same thing for Deep Run and John Marshall. So there's six additional points. So they're going to be at 26, 32, so there's six more points. That's 38 for Hermitage. On the other hand, Manchester, they know they're going to get two from Monick and Cosby, two from George Wythe, James River, two from Huguenot Clover Hill, because they beat all of those teams. So whoever wins, they get 2 points for a win from a defeated opponent. So that takes them up to 46 points. And that keeps them ahead. Then you got to go deeper, and you got to go back into non-conference schedule. Back in the days of September, when it was still 85 and nasty sweaty when we were doing football. Manchester needs Motueka, for example, to beat Thomas Dale. If Motueka beats Thomas Dale, Manchester gets 2 points. If Thomas Dale wins, then Manchester gets nothing, because you get 2 points if a team you beat wins, and you get 1 point if a team you lost to wins. But if a team you beat loses, nothing. So Manchester's rooting for Motueka to beat Thomas Dale. Manchester is rooting for Meadowbrook to beat Dinwiddie. That would help them, but that would also help Hermitage, because Manchester beat Meadowbrook, Hermitage beat Meadowbrook. So that washes each other out. The thing that hurts Manchester right now is that on their schedule is Midlothian. Midlothian, they're done. They finished last week, and so they don't play on Friday night, so there's no chance of getting two extra points from Midlothian winning, because Midlothian doesn't have any other games to play. So that's how razor thin is the battle if Manchester and Herm both finish 10-0. Manchester may just barely eclipse them for the two seed. But that's just the first scenario, folks. Let's go to the number one team in our NBC 12 WHA and Radio Top 10 poll, and the number one team in 5A South Central, the Highland Springs Springers, 9-0 off the big 65-point win, or 65-point performance, 65-37 win over Atlee last week. And I was at Ricky DeBerry's jersey ceremony Monday afternoon at Atlee. Of course, he's one of the 90 players selected from across the nation for the U.S. Army All-American Bowl. He'll be playing down in San Antonio, Texas at the Alamo Dome on January 3rd. Game will be on NBC 12, so really looking forward to watching that over New Year's weekend. Coach Johnson got an invitation to attend a special coaches clinic and the game down in San Antonio to join Ricky down there. And great ceremony Monday afternoon. We talked with Ricky. We talked with longtime legendary coach Richard McPhee, who is the defensive coordinator at Atlee, about Ricky and about Atlee, and our article on DeBerry and all the other things coming up in the Herald Progress tomorrow. So if you're in Hanover, make sure you get a copy of the Hanover Herald Progress. If you're not, go to Hanover and get a copy of the Hanover Herald Progress for our profile on Ricky DeBerry, plus coverage of football and volleyball and field hockey and much, much more. Comes out every Thursday. If you're in Hanover County, you need to be subscribing to the Herald Progress for sports coverage courtesy of Hanover Sports and the RVA Sports Network each and every week. But aside from that, Coach McPhee was telling me about how he really wished he could get his players to a speed clinic and he could teach them how to be as fast as what he saw in Highland Springs. Because he told me, he said, you know, I've seen them on film and I watched them a couple of games in the stands, he said, and they were fast. But until you get on that sideline and put on that headset and you watch them against your guys, you don't realize how fast they truly are. And Highland Springs is lightning fast. And so they go to Verina on Friday night. Huge game, even though it's 9-0 versus 4-5. Because it's very simple. We'll talk 6A for just a moment. Verina has to win to make the playoffs unless George Wythe pulls off the upset of the year in the Central Region and beats James River. Now, George Wythe is probably not going to do that. So Verina realizes that they're not going to get help from the Bulldogs. They've got to beat their arch rival at home on senior night to finish 500 and, more importantly, get that eighth and final playoff berth coming up in 6A South, the rest of the region. It's South and North and West, and it's crazy. But anyway, 6A South, eight teams from the rest of the state make it in their bracket, eight teams from the beach make it in their bracket, and off they go. It's much easier in 5A South. Eight teams from the Old Central region, eight teams from the Old Eastern region. They play three rounds. Winners play in the state semifinal. So, Highland Springs, if they win, they're the number one seed in 5A South all the way through to the state semifinals. And that includes semifinal weekend, the first weekend in December. They would host a state semifinal against a Salem, Virginia Beach, or whoever the case may be, may come out of that bracket because, again, Highland Springs has the number one seed in all of 5A South, not just the central subregion. So it's very cut and dry. Springers win, they finish 10-0, they're the one seed, and they've got home field for up to four games. They could only travel once, and that is if they make it to the state championship December the 13th in Charlottesville. There at Scott Stadium. So the table's laid out for Lauren Johnson and company, and he knew that when we talked to him on our postgame show Friday night on WHAN and the RVA Sports Network. And, you know, he's thinking short-term, he's thinking long-term, but I know that night he was like, I've got an hour and 20 minutes to, you know, savor the win over Atlee, and then I got to start worrying about Verina. Because the last couple of times that Highland Springs has gone to Verina 9-0, they have left 9-1. And I know that this Verina team is not like some of the others that they have faced. I understand that. But it's still Verina. It's still at Verina. And for those of you who understand deep-seated rivalries, the two most deep-seated rivalries in the Central Region at this hour in football are LC Byrd Thomas Dale and Highland Springs Verina. And I would put Highland Springs Verina at number one for one reason and one reason only: positioning on the schedule. Imagine if LC Byrd and Thomas Dale met every year in the final game of the regular season. How many more citizens of Chester would come out? It's already thousands. It'd be more than that that would come to the game. Well, imagine they sell out every year, this matchup, Highland Springs Verina, every year. Thousands descend from all over eastern Henrico County and other parts of the 804 as well on this matchup. And I don't think that the fact that Verina's 4-5 is causing this to be any different whatsoever, because it's simple. They must win if they want to survive and play another week and get in the 6A South playoffs. Period. They got to beat their arch rival. Highland Springs, though, on the other hand, says, we can't let that happen. We've got to win so that we prove we're the number one seed. We earn home field advantage all the way into the month of December. Imagine that. And I'm telling you, I've been to Highland Springs three times this year. Everybody's going to have a hard time beating Highland Springs on their home field. Now, I mentioned this on our game of the week late in the broadcast last week, and I'm going to mention it again. I'm sending out a call to Springer Nation. I know last week was Halloween night and there were families who had, you know, younger kids and whatnot, and they weren't able to come out to the game because they had to take their younger children trick-or-treating. I understand that the crowd was down a little bit for that, but with the game so big last week against Atlee, I really expected a bigger home crowd for the Springers. Highland Springs fans, you need to get to Verina Friday night. Verina fans, you need to get to your home field on Friday night. That place needs to be packed. And if Highland Springs wins, then Springer Nation, when you've got that home field advantage, you have got to get out there and pack those stands so that you create a better home field advantage for your guys. And I tell you, if Felton Davis and Juwan Carter and Lauren Johnson and Greg Dortch and Tank Scott and Tyson Talar and the rest of the gang turn around and look and they see stands packed, people lining up the fences, looking on, at their team trying to get that elusive state championship. And this is a team, I believe, that has the weapons that they could do it if they play well. But one element that they need is they need support. So Springer Nation, if they get the win Friday night and you get home field for the next four Fridays, you need to get out there and you need to support them. Of course, that goes for all the teams in the area. If you get a home game, your fans better get out there and pack those stands. It's crazy how on Friday nights, a lot of people go out for football games in the regular season. Then we get to the playoffs, and for some reason, the student sections get smaller and the fan base gets smaller, and I don't understand. I mean, I know the holiday season is coming up, and I know the third round's in Thanksgiving weekend and people are traveling, but man, if you're going to be there week two in September for a non-district match, Lord knows you should be there in November. When it's all on the line, the season is on the line. I know it's not as nice outside because the weather's much colder. You just bundle up and you buy hot chocolate and support the concession stand and get out there and support your team, no matter where it is. But Highland Springs has it all in front of them in 5A. They win, they have it all the way to the state semis. Of course, Hermitage, Manchester, Byrd, all hoping Verina pulls the upset. Then it's wide open. Hermitage could get the one. Manchester with a win over Byrd could get the one. And get this, we've run the numbers. If Verina knocks off Highland Springs and Manchester loses to LC Byrd, it is possible. It is possible, not likely, but possible that LC Byrd could eclipse Hermitage and they would get the number one seed in 5A South Central. And besides Skyhawk Nation, there is nobody listening to this podcast that wants to hear that news, because everybody knows you don't want to have to go to Chester in November. Ask all the teams that tried in 2012 and 2013. Byrd comes into Friday night with 278 points. If they win, they get 24, then they get 18 because Manchester has 9 wins, so that's 2 points a win. They're going to get 2 from Monick and Cosby. They're going to get 2 from James River. They're going to get 2 from Huguenot Clover Hill. If Lake Taylor knocks off IC Norcom, and that's no guarantee because that's a great battle in 4A of two playoff teams, two top six playoff teams right now in the South region. Lake Taylor would give them a point, just one though, because of course Lake Taylor won. Interestingly enough, LC Byrd's going to root for Thomas Dale very silently on Friday night because they need Dale to beat Matoaka. That would give them 2 additional points. So that would be the best that Byrd could possibly do. Then the question is, what about the Atlee Raiders? Are they locked into the 5 seed after the loss against Highland Springs? Well, first of all, they got to beat Lee Davis. And for those of you looking at that, our game of the week coming up on WHAN Friday night on 102.9 FM on the radio and live here on the RBA Sports Network. It's not a 100% guarantee that Atlee's going to beat Lee Davis. I realize the game's at Atlee, and I realize they're 7-2, and Lee Davis is 2-7, but the Confederates put up a heck of a fight last week and were a missed extra point away from overtime against Armstrong and had the ball late in the game in the red zone and almost knocked out the Wildcats. And it's a rivalry game. What else do I have to say? Throw the records out. A couple of years ago, in fact, I want to say it was 3 years ago, yeah, in 2011, we went in. Lee Davis had to win to make the playoffs. Atlee was a prohibitive favorite that night. The final score was Lee Davis 30, Atlee 20. Atlee went into the playoffs shaking their head. Lee Davis went into the playoffs miraculously. They ended up playing the next week in the first round, and that game went double overtime at Atlee before Atlee won 42-35 when the battle of backup quarterbacks, both quarterbacks that night, got knocked out. Remember, it was Kenner Berry who took over for Reuben Rucker and won the game in double OT. It was an incredible atmosphere that night. It was fantastic. So there's no guarantee. Lee Davis would love nothing more than to finish what's been a very disappointing season in Mechanicsville with a win over their arch rival in the 25th meeting between those two schools in history. That'll be the 24th in the regular season, and there was one that playoff game back in 2011. So Lee Davis would love to win on a high note. The seniors there going out on a high note. Sam Newsom, Brandon Sulzer, etc. Atlee, on the other hand, they just want to shake off what happened with Highland Springs last week, get it behind them, forget about it, and start establishing a new winning streak here in November and hope it goes further, and then just 1 week and into the postseason. But we've run the numbers, and let's say that Byrd falls to Manchester on Friday night. The minimum number of points that they would get, they'd get 21 points for losing to Manchester, first of all. And we know they're going to get 6 points in 3 games where there are teams that play each other that they have already beaten. So it would be 21-27 Now, let's say Norcom beats Lake Taylor, and let's say Thomas Dale loses to Metoica. 27 points would be the maximum Bird could get. That puts him at 305 points. We've run the numbers. Attlee, on the other hand, comes in at 268. A win over Lee Davis gets him 28 points. 24 for the win, 4 for Lee Davis's 2 wins. They're going to get 2 from P.H. Freeman. They're going to get 2 for the winner of Hanover Glen Allen. They're going to get 2 for the winner of Deep Run and John Marshall. So that's another 6. That puts them at 38 points, if my math is right. Let's see, 28, 30, 32, 34. Excuse me. They're at 34 points. 34 would put them at 302. Now, if Armstrong beats Henrico Saturday and Highland Springs loses to Verina, if Verina wins and Armstrong wins, that's 4 more points for Attlee. And by my count, that makes it 306. And that would put Attlee at 306, LC Bird at 305. And that would put Attlee as the number 4 seed. And Bird would have to come to Attlee next Friday night, November the 14th. Totally different scenario, and one the Raider Nation has dreamed of after they lost in Chester 46-10 last year Thanksgiving Friday night. Now, again, a lot of things have to happen. Bird's got to lose. Thomas Dale's got to lose. So, again, put that together. And also, Lake Taylor has got to lose to Norcom. Lake Taylor wins, then they're tied at 306. So they'll each finish at a 30.6 rating. If that happens, and let's say Armstrong loses to Henrico or Highland Springs dispatches Verina, Attlee's back to 305, and they're back to the number 5 seed. What we can say with pretty much certainty is that Attlee can't fall further than 5, even if they happen to lose to Lee Davis. They should have enough points built up with their lead in 5A South. They are currently almost 3 points ahead of Henrico, and they're over 2.5 points ahead of Douglas Freeman. And so neither one of those teams are going to be able to get enough points with an Attlee loss, and if they win, to where they could pick up the number 5 seed and drop Attlee to 6. So Attlee has got a 5 seed, and there is an outside, and I mean a very outside chance. The harmonic convergence has to happen for Attlee to grab the 4. But it is possible going in to Friday night's action. Hermitage, again, Tucker with the Cat Bowl. They win. They're going to be the 2. If they win and Highland Springs loses, they're in a dogfight with Manchester for the 1 seed if Manchester wins. They're in a dogfight with Bird for the 1 seed if LC Bird wins. And again, this all goes back to Hermitage having the weak schedule due to being in the Colonial District. Now, we've spent a lot of time on 5A. I understand that. Let me quickly go over the rest of the scenarios in the region. 6A South, Thomas Dale took over 2nd from Colonial Forge. They can hold on to 2nd place. They likely will not catch CD Hilton. They'll probably be the number 1 seed unless for some reason Hilton gets tripped up here on Friday night. That would be, though, a bit of a surprise. Double-checking the schedule, they've got Forest Park this week. And Forest Park is 7-2, but Hilton's going to be favored. But let's say Hilton got beat and Thomas Dale wins over Metoica. There may be enough bonus points there for Thomas Dale to get the 1 seed in 6A South in that 8-team sub-region. So Thomas Dale got plenty to play for, even though they've got probably the best 4-5 team in the Commonwealth of Virginia coming in Metoica on Friday night after they put 73 on Hopewell. That was crazy. So Thomas Dale in the 2 seed, outside shot at the 1 seed if things go their way, but they need a win to at least secure the 2 seed. And then in the bottom half of the bracket, Cosby, Patrick Henry, Roanoke, they're tied for 5th right now. Cosby's got Monacan, and that's a 7-win team. And then Cosby could get bonus points if they win, beating a 7-win team that's 2 classifications below them, a couple of extra points for that. And that could separate them from Patrick Henry, Roanoke. PH Roanoke, as I try to look very quickly, they play William Fleming, which is a 4A school, on Friday night. So they're in a situation to where they could pick up some bonus points as well by beating a 4A school. And William Fleming is 7-2. Now, the question there is going to be how good is their 7-2, versus Patrick Henry Roanoke 6-3, 6A versus 4A. We know that sometimes, they're deceiving depending upon the classification that we're talking about. Then River Bend is in there at 7. James River, 2/10 of a point. Well, check that, about two-thirds of a point behind River Bend in that 8 spot, and then about a half a point behind them in 9th and out of the playoffs, Verina. But if Verina wins and James River both win on Friday night, Verina comes up over the Rapids because they'll beat a 9-win team. And all the bonus points that come with that after James River will beat a winless team and no bonus points for that. Verina will be in and James River will be out. James River then would have to hope that River Bend somehow fell in their final game of the regular season. And they've got Colonial Forge and it's on the road. So it's possible that River Bend could lose, get knocked out. James River could win. Verona could win. Verona could end up 7, James River 8. And then that would meet a situation to where if Thomas Dale took the 1 seed, it could be Thomas Dale, James River first round. If it's 2-7, it could be Thomas Dale, Verona first round. But again, Verona's got to win to get in to begin with. So that's the look at what's going on. We know Thomas Dale's in. We know Cosby is in. James River, not yet. Verona, out looking in. 5A, the full 8. Highland Springs right now, then Hermitage, Manchester Bird, and then At Lee. Douglas Freeman, 2/10 of a point better than Henrico. And then Meadowbrook, about 6/10 of a point behind Henrico. Henrico loses to Armstrong, and Meadowbrook beats Dinwiddie. Meadowbrook could finish the season 6-1 in their last 7 games and end up in the 7 seed. Think about that. That would be pretty incredible. And I think Meadowbrook would love to have a rematch with a 2-seed Hermitage in round 1 after having them beat on opening night back in late August and letting it get away in the final minute or so. So that's 5A South. 5A North, Patrick Henry fans, you are currently in, but you do not have a playoff seed clinched. You're in 12th right now. You've got 2 teams 2/10 of a point behind you. You've got a 3rd team just over or under a point behind you. And Robert E. Lee of Stanton is currently, about 1.7 points behind you. But it's simple. If Robert E. Lee wins on Friday night and Patrick Henry loses to Douglas Freeman, there's a possibility PH is on the outside looking in. It's also going to depend upon some of the results of other games, including Mountain View and Freedom and Edison and Brook Point. Essentially, there's like 6 or 7 teams fighting for the final 5 playoff berths in 5A North. And at this hour, Patrick Henry cannot say that they're in the playoffs. Now, beat Freeman, they take care of it all. They finish on a 5-game win streak. They'll finish 6-4, first winning season since 2008, and first playoff appearance since 2007. Go to Freeman, get it done. You've got your berth. If you go there, you fail, then you got to hope a couple of teams underneath you lose so they don't catch and pass you and leave you on the outside looking in. So still plenty of work to do for Patrick Henry on Friday night. 4A South. Powhatan's in. Monacan's in. Hanover's in. Dinwiddie's in. We know they're in. Dinwiddie achingly remaining in the number 9 position, which would put them on the road in the first round of the playoffs. They've been 9th for like 3 or 4 weeks now in the ratings in 4A South. Phoebus is 3rd, and their season is done at 28.2 points. And we ran some numbers. Powhatan and Monacan are tied for 4th, and they begin with 247 points on Friday night. Both of them could get a minimum of 21 points if they lose. Monacan to Cosby, Powhatan to Charlottesville. Charlottesville's 4-5, Powhatan at home a prohibitive favorite. Powhatan could get as many as 37 points for winning, 22 for the win, 8 for the 4 wins Charlottesville has. They would get 1 point if Hopewell beats Colonial Heights, which is expected. And then they'll guaranteed get 6 points because there are 3 games between teams that Powhatan has defeated. So no matter who wins, they get points. So the maximum they could get is 37. On the other hand, Monacan comes in. They play a 6A team and a 6-win team in Cosby. If they win, they get 22. They get 12 out of the Cosby 6 wins. They're going to get 2 out of GW and James River. They're going to get 2 from Huguenot Clover Hill. And they're going to get 1 from Bird Manchester. That's the only 2 losses were to those 2 teams. So they'll get 1 point for 1 of that. And so then they need Godwin to beat Thomas Jefferson and Dinwiddie to beat Meadowbrook. Even if Dinwiddie lost to Meadowbrook, Monacan could get 41 points. And that's important because 41 beats 37 and they break the tie. And Monacan could possibly be the number 3 seed. Phoebus could drop down to as far down as 5th. Maybe even 6, because Hanover has a chance, and a good chance of getting 31 points, and they start at 246. 31 is possible. 34 is kind of out of the round, and not out of the round, but really just a slight possibility. So it looks like Phoebus will stay no more than 5th. Let me correct that. Hanover can get probably as high as 6th. Maybe 5th if Phoebus is 4th, if either Powhatan or Monacan trip up and lose. If Cosby beats Monacan, for example. Hanover's only 1/10 of a point behind them with a win over Glen Allen, even though just with 1 win there, they should be able to get enough points from other games involving other teams they've beaten. And so a lot to shake down in 4A South. 3A East, you got Hopewell reeling after that 60-point loss to Metoaka. They're trying to stay in the top 8 and have a home game. They are currently in 8th place going into that match with Colonial Heights. Colonial Heights 13th. They're in the playoffs even though they've lost 7 in a row. And they're looking at 8 in a row if they don't beat Hopewell. Hopewell needs to win if they want a home game at Myrner Field next Friday night. Petersburg, the 12th seed. They're trying to climb up a little bit, get a better little 3A East first-round matchup, and then there's Armstrong. Armstrong tied for sixth. They got the huge matchup with Henrico. Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock, move to City Stadium. That one's going to be big because Armstrong's going to want to win, so they could possibly move up over John Champ and at least get the sixth seed. That's about as good as they can do right now. They're over 2 points behind fifth place Kettle Run. And so the chances of getting into the top five in 3A East are about nil. But Armstrong, with a win over a 7-win Henrico team, could probably at least separate themselves from the tie they're in right now and get the sixth seed. And the sixth seed gets maybe a pretty favorable game at home in the first round of the playoffs. Petersburg, Colonial Heights just trying to hang on. Huguenot, the same thing. They got a big game at Clover Hill Friday night. Clover Hill out of the playoffs at 2-7. Huguenot only 1-8, but they are still in the playoffs in 3A East. They are the 15 seed right now, but Thomas Jefferson and John Marshall are only a half a point away from them. And so Huguenot could beat Clover Hill. That would clinch a playoff berth for Huguenot. But if they lose and say John Marshall can get the win at Deep Run, that might be enough for John Marshall to get a spot. Thomas Jefferson pulls an upset against Godwin, maybe. Maybe they get a spot. Southampton's in between them, and Warren County and Brentsville District are all a tenth of a point behind all of them. So that is just a quagmire down in 2A East. Goochland and Amelia look in pretty good shape. So does King William in 2A. And then in 1A, Essex is looking good. They're tied for first with a week to go in the 1A East region. And they look like they're going to be in pretty good shape and get a very favorable first and probably second round game in the state 1A playoffs. Okay, I don't know if you know more than you did when you started this podcast, and I knew that our podcasts in early November were going to be longer than usual. We try to keep them to about a 30-minute time frame, but we're at 45 tonight, and that's because of all the football playoff implications. And the bottom line is this. We'll be with you live here on the RVA Sports Network and on WHAN Radio 102.9 FM from Atlee Friday night, 6:30 pregame with the NBC 12 on the sidelines preview with Mark Davis. And then 7 o'clock kick, Lee Davis, Atlee. Atlee trying, hoping maybe to get a home playoff game in round one. They got to beat Lee Davis and get a lot of help. Otherwise, they'll be the 5 seed, and they'll be going on the road somewhere the next Friday night. So Rage Cage needs to be in full effect. Atlee fans, it could be your last chance to be in that skybox this week. And we've got it for you on the game of the week. Obviously, at the same time, we will be keeping you posted all night on all the other scores on a huge Friday night. Doesn't get any bigger than the regular season finale. Matt Estridge will be down at Manchester for Bird Manchester. You'll see extended highlights and coverage of that on the sidelines at 11:15. Coverage of our game, of course. Coverage of Highland Springs Verinas, the spring. Try to clinch home field all the way to the state semis in 5A South Central. Hermitage at Tucker, Metoaka at Thomas Dale. No guarantee the Knights are going to win their eighth straight. Metoaka, one of the hottest teams in the area right now, even though they're going to be out of the playoffs. Number eight, Monacan, at Cosby. Hanover, number 9, hosting Glen Allen. And Charlottesville hosting number 10, Powhatan. Congratulations to the Indians, Logan Allen and company, for cracking our top 10 this week for the first time. NBC 12 WHAN Radio top 10. Patrick Henry goes to Freeman. They win. They're in the playoffs. They lose. It's questionable. Freeman trying to grab the sixth seed in 5A South Central. Dinwiddie's at Meadowbrook. Dinwiddie trying to play into a home game in 4A South. Meadowbrook trying to get up from 8-7 in 5A South Central. So both teams are playing for playoff position. They know they're going to play week 12, but they just don't know in what position and if it's at home or away. Meadowbrook knows they're going to be on the road, but they want to get a better matchup. They'd rather play Hermitage than Highland Springs, let me just say this. Prince George is at Hopewell. Hopewell trying to get a home game in the 3A East playoffs. So, you know, all these games, even the lower games on our schedule, you look at them and they have playoff implications. You know, TJ, still fighting for a playoff berth in 3A at Godwin. John Marshall, still fighting for a playoff berth in 3A at 0-9 Deep Run. Could it possibly be that the Wildcats go 0-10 this season? With and James River, Verina hoping for a miracle there so that if they lose to Highland Springs, they maybe could still back into the playoffs. And then there's Henrico and Armstrong at City Stadium, 2 o'clock Saturday. So it's going to be about 4:30, 5 o'clock Saturday afternoon before we really know in 5A and 3A all the playoff scenarios. 4A, 6A, we'll know late Friday night. And don't forget VISAA state semifinal action. Congratulations to St. Christopher's for getting in the playoffs. Good luck to them as they go to Benedictine Saturday, 2 p.m. for the state Division 1 semifinal. That's the 4 and the 1 seed. Also a 4-1 matchup in the Division 4 state semis. Blessed Sacrament Huguenot has to go down to Farmville and take on Fuqua. They're 9-1 on the year. They're having a great season. Trinity Episcopal, the 3 seed in Division 2, 6-4 in the regular season. Good luck to them. They go to Bishop Bishop Sullivan Catholic, the 2 seed, on Friday night at 7. And they've won that matchup in the regular season. If they can make it 2-for-2, Trinity Episcopal, Travion Armstrong and company could be playing for a state championship next weekend. All right, my friends, it's very simple. Stay with us here on the RVA Sports Network, live coverage of football on Friday night, all the scores you need to know on Twitter throughout Friday night, all the playoff implications as we get them and can calculate them, and a special edition of this podcast, Central Region Now, late Friday night, once all is said and done, and at least in 6A and 4A, we'll have an idea of who's heading out to the playoffs in 2014. Gonna be crazy. Hope you'll join us on the radio, on Twitter, online, all night Friday. Thanks for being with us for this edition of Central Region Now, and we promise to try to stay within our time limit once the playoffs are underway. But we got basketball coming up. We got Atlantic 10 women's basketball. VCU and Richmond are starting men's play next Friday. This is the crazy time of the year. Central Region Now is an exclusive podcast presentation of the RVA Sports Network, a division of HCS Media, LLC. Copyright 2014, all rights reserved. Have a great one. Talk to you on the radio and see you on the sidelines.